electricity, where it comes from, how it's made. It's the reason you're able to listen to us on whatever radio listening device that you might currently be using. And I understand, Roman, the stats say that half the radio broadcast consumers now are streaming the audio. Is it that high?
I don't know.
Wow.
I have not seen that stat, but I do know that they see a big resurgence in audio because of the Alexa-type services that are in the home that people are using, that they're streaming in their kitchens now.
Oh.
And the vehicles, you know, I don't know.
Well, I still like holding a newspaper, and I still like getting the direct broadcast, watching the Indy 500. I don't have my outside TV connected to the main distribution box, so I have to go on a NBC app to get the streaming NBC. So on my back patio, we were streaming the Indy 500, and in the living room, we were watching it on live broadcast. I liked the. I went back and forth, back and forth. I like the live broadcast better.
You like which one?
The live broadcast.
You know, not TV, but radio and newspaper. The nice thing about both of those is there's nothing that goes backwards to the source. When you're listening to radio, that's the end of the transmission.
Well, I've been telling people for years that we have a camera on their radio. I can see what they're doing during our show.
When the paper is delivered to your house, there's nothing that goes back that says what you did or didn't read. All those things that you do online, that's getting tracked.
Yeah.
And data farmed. And, you know, I like being not feeling like constantly watched. Because you do something streaming, and if there's a chance that a sponsor can or an advertisement can pop in related to something that happened, and it's just all this very complicated clutter that happens there. So I like the the terrestrial termination in.
Yeah, I do too. I was doing a small example of that as I was doing a small research on how to completely and totally, absolutely, 100%, without question, annihilate a pomegranate tree that I've been trying to kill for 4 years. Well, you know, in my internet research, now every pomegranate tree producer in America
is trying to sell me a pomegranate tree. Exactly.
Oh, man. Well, we're talking about the power sources. How in Arizona, I think we ought to congratulate all the utility companies because, you know, without the reliability of the grid that's been established and with the foresight of our forefathers with the hydroelectric and the power distribution lines that have been established, it would take a little bit more rugged individual to survive the southern half of Arizona than most of the people that currently live there. Now, I'm not bad talking to anybody. It's just that's the facts. It's hard to be comfortable at 115 degrees, even if it is only for a month.
And I'd like to thank Jill Hanks and Rick Lane from APS. They were at both of the first two tours, one of the actual reactor where we got to go inside the belly of the beast, then the second one where we went and saw the water, then the third one we were at this week, the distribution center where they decide how much power to send down what line at one time. And Jill was on us all three of those, and Jacob was our director at the distribution office. So now that I've seen that on the APS side, I want to go see the hydroelectric at the dams. I want to see the natural gas and SRP and TEP.
Sounds like fishing trip to Powell. I'm ready. Let's go.
Lee's Ferry. We got to see it down at the base.
Yeah, we could squeeze a visit to the dam in on that.
When you see it firsthand, and you understand the amount of work that goes into this and how convenient it is on the user side and how affordable it is on the grand scheme of things, it's, you know, it connects you with, you know, what's creating a modern lifestyle for us here. And you have much more of an appreciation for the work that they do, because something that every single employee at every single power company has in common with you, they want their bill as cheap as possible, too.
That's right. Exactly. So we'll end this conversation on the source of electricity with a Cajun joke.
Oh. I know. This is all you, Dad.
Yeah. Okay. There's two Cajuns playing dominoes down at the drugstore, Boudreaux and Thibodeau. And they talking about themselves, between themselves, about what the fastest thing in the world is. And Boudreaux says, oh, Thibodeau, I'm going to tell you this right now. The fastest thing in the whole world is electricity. He says, because, yeah, I can walk over to that switch right there, and as fast as I can throw that switch on and off and on and off, that light bulb comes on and off and on and off. And Thibodeau's checking out his next Domino's move, and he's thinking about what Boudreaux had to say, and Thibodeau leans back in his chair, and he says, no, Boudreaux, I don't think so. He says, the fastest thing in the world is a thought, because before you could even thought to go over there and turn that light on, the thought's in your head. The thought is faster than electricity. So, by the greatest minds found on Bayou Teche in South Louisiana, the fastest thing in the world is the thought. But very close second to that is electricity. And again, we'd like to thank all the utility companies in Arizona for doing such a fabulous job in providing safe, reliable electricity through the multiple sources that they've diversed their reliance on.
And next week we're going to be talking about solar, one of two, solar and wind, that don't require water for generation past the manufacturing of the equipment.